My name is Jason Carter, and thank you, Dan, for having me in here for this talk. I remember an occasion, well, let's back up. I toured with Ray Charles for about 7 months, 1990-91 era, and I was pretty young then. I was probably in my early 20s, and I was a gung-ho improviser, and I thought, man, every time you play a solo, it's got to be the same. It's got to be different, right? It's got to be completely different from A to Z. And then I joined Ray Charles' band, and I'm trying to do that. Every night I'm taking a solo, and I'm doing it all differently. And then I started really honing in on his solos. And I noticed he plays the same solos every night on pretty much 99% of the tunes. But it sounded fresh every night. And I was like, how in the world can he do that? Because I thought improvisation was supposed to be new in every time. And I learned that improvisation just needs to help the music. It's not for someone to just show off all their stuff that they learned in college. You know, of course, I'm in my early 20s now, so I just came right from college. So when Ray would play his solos, they were the same thing. But every night, it was, maybe a little bit different, but the pitch bend would be a little bit different or something like that. But it was exciting every night, and it just blew me away. It opened up my whole mind to, okay, well, you can play the same thing every night and have it be fresh, okay? Even though I struggle with that now because I'm the trumpet soloist with Yanni, and I have to play the same solos every time. And it's still hard for me to do that. Now, Ray let us just play whatever we wanted. But when I would listen to him, that's when I realized, okay, well, you can do it the same way every night and still have it sound good. So does it sound that way to the audience? Or what about the person playing it every night? Is it just as fun for them? Maybe not. But the audience is going to feel that, probably. The freshness, hopefully. So it's going to be fresh for them. So it's a good mental trick. It's like, here's my gig. Okay, just do it. But it's got to be fresh, I remember once Ray Charles he didn't say anything to me. The whole 6 months or 7 months I was on tour. Which I think that's probably a good thing. Because I remember in a rehearsal once, we were in Paris and we hadn't rehearsed in a long time, and so we got a rehearsal in the hotel lobby or something. It was crazy, and we were playing a tune, and he stops the tune, and I remember this so clearly. He said, "Trombone 3, measure 31, beat 3. That's a B flat, my man. Now get it right." And I'm like, okay, wait a second. He probably wrote this chart, who knows how many decades ago. And he knows exactly what measure, what beat, and who made a mistake. I mean, he knew his stuff. No, I mean, other people wrote most of his chart. He's got a lot of arrangers that work for him. But it was his charts. Maybe I misspoke. Maybe it wasn't his arrangement. But he knew his arrangement so well. I didn't even know my own trumpet part as well as he knew the whole entire score. But at the end of the tour, I realized that the management was extorting money from the band. So I didn't want to be a part of that. So we used to have to buy our own hotel rooms. So I'm touring the world in 1990, I'm getting paid $750 a week. And every time we go to a hotel in Germany or wherever, we have to pay the hotel for a night stay or two night stay or whatever it is. So we would room up, man. We'd get two people, three people to our room to save money. And once in Japan, I was hanging out with the promoter. We were drinking sake at the bar. And I said, hey, I want to thank you very much because the room rates that you gave us are really reasonable. $35 a night in Japan? He looked at me strange. He said, what do you mean $35? All those rooms were totally comped. And here, the whole band and the Raelettes were all paying $35 a night to the management. That's just, I'm only making $750 a week. Hello. So I remember going up into a room with the manager. I considered this, I don't know, like this person at all, Joe. Well, there's a few guys, but anyway. So I just said, are you going to be coming back? I put an envelope. No. That's it. No. I didn't say a reason or anything because I didn't want to cause any rips. But anyway, a few nights later, after the last gig, Ray decided that he's going to take pictures with anybody in the band. You know, he never does this, right? But this is like the last tour, last night. So I said, yeah, definitely I want my picture taken with him. So I went up there. I waited in line. And, there's a big line. I came over, I stand next to him, he put his hand over, and he didn't find me. So he lowers his hand, then he found it. He said, boy, I didn't know you were so short. Well, you both smiled, chick, took the picture, I left. Cool. Never saw him again. Cool. That's kind of cool, you know. So I played taller than I am, I guess, you know. It's amazing. Well, that's a sense of space that maybe all blind people have. Maybe it's just the fact that he does not have sight, and so he's going to have, obviously he has gifts that are developed way higher than, because of the lack of sight. You're developing your ears, and your sense of awareness, your spatial awareness, I think is got to be very keen. Because if you step in the wrong hole, right? You have to be very careful. I think it'd be pretty cool if we could all be blind for a day to see what they go through. Well, how about Rich for a day? Hey.